itself rolled out. It was so thin that they had rolled it up and it rolled out rather than being those fixed larger models. Do you know which, are we getting the new, and they said that was the latest technology.
What we're putting up is fixed panels, but there are lots of creative panels out there. They're actually manufacturing things that are akin to roof shingles that generate power. And once they tied the technology down, they can do amazing things with embedding it in gel and so on.
The outside skin of the glass skin of the buildings in China are photovoltaic. You see right through them.
It's really amazing what can
so
be done.
This will be the panel version of the photovoltaic.
Sandra?
Mayor Potter and the commission. Sandra Walden. Just to answer your question about that, the thin film that you're referring to is actually not a very efficient production medium. So the panels that we're installing at the EPCC project meet the production requirement that give them the 12% for their lead requirement. It bumped them from gold to platinum. And that's why we're using that. Also, the thin film is a relatively new technology. It's been around for a while, but it hasn't been around long enough to meet the acid test for a lot of investors who are not particularly willing to take the new product risks. So that's another reason that the groundwater will have a more traditional panel.
And that's why she's the brains of this operation.
Further questions? Thank you, folks. We have folks signed up to testify on either of these?
No one signed up.
Anybody here who wishes to testify to either 1438 or 1439? Please call the vote on 1438.
Adams?
Very innovative. Really smart and green. Congratulations, Commissioner Leonard and Saltzman, for continuing to push the green agenda on the ground. Thanks. Aye.
Fish.
I'm pleased to vote aye.
Leonard.
And thank you again to Dave and Mike for they've grabbed this by the horns and run with it and done a great job. Thank you. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I again want to thank Sandra Walden of Commercial Solar Ventures for truly being the glue that held this project together. These projects together and bring the investors to the table. I know recent months I've been put on the phone to call several lending institutions to see if we could get them to come to the table. I think it probably wasn't the ones I actually called, but I think we ultimately reached success, and we had to reach success because these projects needed to be started by the end of this calendar year in order to get the tax credits. I also want to thank Xaylene Nunn for her capable leadership and the Water Bureau for their leadership, too. Portland General Electric's been an amazing partner on this for the East Portland Community Center. They have helped out Thor Hinckley in particular, a former staff person of mine, has been an incredible partner in making this happen. And finally, last but not least, is our Office of Sustainable Development and Dave Tews for their continued push to make these projects go forward. For all the complications something like this entails, Dave is really the go-to guy here in the city to draw those complicated drawings that Mike Sturr showed us. I'm sure Dave, too, has probably had a hand in that. He understands very complicated things and better than most of us. So this really is, and I've been told, as Xaylene said, that the East Portland Community Center pool will be, we will achieve LEED Platinum, which is the highest rating. And I'm told, in this era of first for Portland always, that this will be the first platinum-rated pool in the United States and, in the world, excuse me, in the world. So tell anybody who challenges us on that, we're sticking to that story.
Okay, Mike, we got to start planning a pool somewhere.
Okay. So great work by all, and meeting these deadlines is just, it's been really good, and this is important stuff and important direction for our city to continue to invest in. Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Please call the vote on 1439.
Adams.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
Please read 1442.
Authorize a letter of agreement with the Portland Police Association authorizing the hire of particular police officers pursuant to the Multnomah County Sheriff's Office lateral recruitment at a reduced 6-month probationary period.
Commissioner Leonard?
Could we, Robert King's here, and Dave Benson, did you want to come up too, Dave? Just Robert. After our meeting last week, Mayor Potter, where we had a discussion about focusing on attempting to eliminate as many barriers as is practical to speed up the hiring process at the police bureau, including the retention process, Robert King invited me to come to the PPA's executive board meeting on Friday. I did, and we had a robust discussion that I'll let Robert speak more to.
Well, I'm Robert King. I'm president of the Portland Police Association, and I just wanted to say this is officially my last time that I'll testify before the City Council as the president, and I've enjoyed my 8 years working with each of you and through issues just like this one. Your coming to the board on Friday was important. What I understand from last week and from the conversation that we had on Friday, you're attempting to bring energy and momentum to a really critical issue, and it's essentially it's recruiting and staffing in the Portland Police Bureau. And what we heard you say is that you're looking to find ways to improve the process that brings people in, puts them through training, and gets them on the street so that we have the officers that we need on the street to do the job every day, and the budgeted positions that you all and the City Council have provided for are filled. We appreciate and understand that and agree with both of those sentiments. Ultimately, the Executive Board, I think, indicated that reducing the probation period in this agreement to 6 months alone didn't solve enough of the problems or address the issue in the way that satisfied all their concerns. And so therefore they said they preferred to stay with 12 months in this case, but that it was in no way an indication that they were unwilling to work with you or the City Council or the Chief of Police to find ways to accomplish both of the goals that I already talked about, bringing more people in, getting them on the street, filling budgeted positions.
Great. I think that's a great summation. And we had, as I said, a robust discussion. And I came out unscathed, fortunately. And it was clear to me from our discussion that there were a number of issues that weren't directly related to this subject that influenced how at least the executive board was reacting to the proposal to reduce the probation for the officers that came over from Multnomah County from 12 to 6 months. And just to be clear about that, in listening to the frustrations that were articulated to me about the lack of meaningful discussions with the administration, with even the City Council, of which I'm a member of, about issues that are important to them, I came away having a better understanding than I would have otherwise why what I would have originally thought a decision to try to improve the number of people on the street to help with your safety and the workload was not going to be agreed to in that narrower context, but rather the members wanted a broader discussion, of which obviously I don't have the ability to do, but had I heard some things there that I agree should be resolved. Sleep deprivation, for an example. I think we should have a policy that's adopted on sleep deprivation that allows, after a certain number of hours of being on duty, a minimum number of hours off. I think that that makes sense, and I'm sorry that you haven't been able to resolve that up until now. So I will be asking the council to revert this back to 12 months in that context, and want to close by saying that, that I was aware before you mentioned this would be your last time here. I've told Robert a number of times, but I think it's appropriate for me to say here I have a long history in union politics, dating well back into the 70s. And I have never worked with a more effective union president, including fire union presidents. And knowing our historic, friendly competition between our professions, I hope you appreciate what that means. And in my view, you are the model by which people ought to look at themselves to be, if they want to be an effective advocate, knowing the fine line between advocating and then crossing over to being offensive is not one all of us always figured out. In our careers in union leadership, you have mastered that in a way I have never seen before. And the city will be poorer for your not being at the helm anymore, but I am also heartened to know that you have recently taken a promotional exam and done rather well. I look forward to seeing you with two bars on your collar here soon.
Thank you.
And I know that that your focus has always been the police bureau. And I wished everybody I dealt with over there had that as their frame of reference. More than just union leaders could learn from how you conducted yourself. And I think you have a future at the police bureau that's only limited by your own personal desires. And I look forward to seeing you in future leadership positions and to be watching you from afar over here. And regret that I won't be able to work with you as I had hoped, but am looking forward to maintaining the friendship you and I have developed.
Thank you. I look forward to that as well.
Thank you.
Other questions? Do we have anybody signed up to testify on this matter?
This was a second reading. We did not set out a sign-up sheet.
I guess before Robert leaves the table, I'd also like to echo the comments of Commissioner Leonard and say it's been a pleasure working with you over the many years. I know certainly we haven't always agreed, but I think you've always been a reasonable person and have always strived for, I think, achieving results for thorny issues, which crop up quite a bit. So I am sorry to see you leaving your union position, but we'll be happy. I feel comforted knowing you'll be back out there protecting us. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
We need a motion to amend.
So moved. Well, since this is a second reading, can we just get guidance from city attorney on this? Because
it's a second reading. We make a motion, amend it, and then it goes to, since it's a non-emergency, it goes to a second reading next week.
The only question I had, Mayor, was since it was originally a 12-month and it was amended, if we undid that, could we vote on it today?
Is the sense of the motion, there's not a motion pending, so I'm...
If we made a motion to revert to the original matter that was before us without the amendment, could we vote on it today as a second reading, or would we have to put it over to a second reading?
If the motion is merely to add back the 12 months and have this remain as a non-emergency, then it would be continued to another reading next week. If the motion was to go back to the original language and have both a 12-month period and an emergency clause, then it could be voted on today.
So move.
Second.
Please don't make him say it again.
Call a vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Not Fish?
Sure I'm voting on.
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
We are voting both on the emergency as well as the returning it to the 12-month, correct?
My understanding of the motion is that the amendment is to restore the ordinance to its original language, 12 months and an emergency clause.
Vote aye.
Now we vote on it, right?
Now you'll vote on the amendment.
Don't go anywhere, Robert. We're not done with you yet.
Please call the vote.
Adams.
Well, Robert, I want to thank you for your service. In the capacity as, I think, one of the most innovative and problem-solving union leaders that we've had. And I've enjoyed getting to know you and consider you a friend and look forward to working with you in your new capacity. So, aye.
Fish.
I'll just say, Robert, that Commissioner Leonard said everything that I would have said, with the exception that while he says he has deep roots in union leadership positions to the 70s,
Actually, I think you and I first got to know each other because as an attorney, I represented someone who might have been in conflict with the association. So the fact that we have developed the kind of relationship we have since then underscores what Randy said about the kind of person you are. And I have cherished the times we've gone out for coffee or lunch, and we've talked confidentially and directly about issues of mutual concern. I've enjoyed past endorsements and even non-endorsements. Or I've even enjoyed when I've been endorsed, but it wasn't actually endorsed. And I don't have enough history. I don't have enough history to put you in the pantheon. But I will simply say that I consider you a friend and someone whose advice I've come to respect greatly. And you will be missed. But I'm delighted you'll continue in another capacity with our bureau. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
And I have to get to a meeting, and I'm turning it over to the president of the council to finish.
Okay, item 1443.
Revised pay and park and non-pay private parking facilities regulations.
Welcome.
Thanks.
Give us your name and.
I'm Ann Holm from the Revenue Bureau, Regulatory Program Administrator. Our bureau is responsible for the administration of the Pay and Park program under City Code Section 7.24.020. Pay and park and non-pay to park facilities are private businesses, but if the operator wants to monitor the facilities and issue penalty notices to vehicles that are parked without authorization or beyond the time they've paid for, then the facility must be registered with the city through the Revenue Bureau, and the facility and the operator must comply with the requirements of 7.24.020. The amount that a registered owner can be penalized is specified in this code section. It's now $16, but can be doubled to $32 if it's not paid within 30 days. There are currently 141 registered facilities. About a year and a half ago, the Bureau received a memo from the mayor's office endorsing earlier recommendations that the amount of the penalty be indexed to the overtime parking penalty that's set by Multnomah County Circuit Court, and that the lot registration fee be increased. Those are two of the major changes in the ordinance before you today. The amended chapter will also require the registered operators to have parking expiration times printed on valet tickets and will give a recipient of a penalty notice 10 days to pay the penalty before an additional fee can be charged to recoup the cost of obtaining registered owner information from DMV. Exhibit A was posted on the Revenue Bureau's website in August and was mailed and emailed to all city Pay and Park registered operators. Some minor changes were made in response to feedback. Two emails of support for the proposed changes have been provided with your packets, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
I'm prepared to support this, but I do have a question because
Okay. Twice
in the last month the same thing has happened, which is I've parked in one of the lots that would be covered by this.
Mm-hmm.
There's been no attendant, and I've used a electronic box.
Mm-hmm.
Where you put your card in, and you're waiting for a printout that then goes in the front of your dashboard. And in both instances, nothing printed. And so if you believe that you've paid, but for whatever reason the box is inoperable, what is your remedy if you get a ticket?
You can call me. Oh, sorry. Yeah. They post signs at the lot near those payment machines that say, if the machine does not issue a ticket, don't park in the lot. There are difficulties with the machines, and sometimes it's the way a person puts their card in, sometimes it's a machine problem. We haven't been able to come up with a good solution for, you know, just not paying to park when the machine doesn't work.
I understand that the default would be that the person parking gets stuck with the tab, but mm-hmm. I would think that just in terms of our oversight of these lots, if we could if we could inquire as to what the problem is, as to why you don't get a receipt, because we are actually trying to encourage people to use them. And twice in the last month, I've been in a lot where it processed, so I believe I got charged, but I did not get a printout. These are not city dispensers. These are at other lots, and it's a little frustrating.
And so did you park there? Those are the kind of complaints that come to the Bureau that I mediate with people, so I would be happy to talk to you about it.
It wasn't fine. I did park, but it just struck me as odd not to have, so I'll follow up with you.
Okay.
Yeah, I would just add on Commissioner Fish's point there. I mean, it does seem kind of, people are usually rushed to get somewhere, if they're going downtown to get to a 7 o'clock show or something like that, and to get up there, pay, and then be told, or to read on the sign, I've got to go park somewhere else.
Yeah.
This isn't very realistic.
That's the policy. Yeah. And because they are private businesses, we see a limit to how far we can go with, you can imagine that if not having the machine work or it apparently not working was a way out of paying, then there could be some pretty serious abuses of that as a way out. So the compromise for many years, I'm not sure how long, but the program's been in place since 83, and I think these signs have been posted this way for a long time, that if the machine doesn't give you a ticket, you should just go somewhere else if there isn't an attendant there that can help you.
Okay. Just for the record, I did not take out my frustration on the box on either instance. So
Was
any damage done, I would defer to someone else on that.
Maybe you parked in an area, there was a construction area, and some people did get mad and hit the machine with some hammers.
Sure, that wasn't Commissioner Fish.
No.
Okay, well, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Is there anybody who wishes to, anybody signed up or wishes to testify on this?
No one signed up.
Okay.
I can really clear a room. Thank you.
It goes to a second reading then.
Thank you.
Item 1444 is a second reading. Please call the roll.
I'll read the title.
Oh, yeah.
Vacate a portion of Southeast 63rd Avenue, north of Southeast Main Street, subject to certain conditions and reservations.
Okay. Please call the roll.
Fish?
I'm going to vote aye, but I'd also like to acknowledge my friend Gary Gayton, who is a distinguished visitor from Seattle, who is here. And Gary, welcome to our city council. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Seltzman.
Aye. Okay, we are adjourned until 2 p.m.
Thanks for letting me get a word in edgewise today.
How you doing?
Yeah. All right. My eyes are canceled.
Oh, is it? Yeah. I don't want to.